This week, my Twitter feed has been flooded with commentary of the Afghan presidential election. But one tweet, more than any other, stood out to me. Afghan presidential vote extended by an hour because of heavy turnout. I sat staring at my computer screen for a few moments. Hours extended due to heavy voter turnout? This made absolutely no sense to me. A people who have known so much war, violence, and poverty have shown up to vote even in the face of terror. It made me wonder what is inside them, what moves in them to give them this courage. Does the same thing move inside me? Does the same thing move inside you? Is there something inside all of us that allows us to stand up in the bleakest of situations, in the face of adversity, and attempt to change the world? This morning, we have heard one of the most imaginatively dramatic readings in all Scripture, Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. This vision reminds every generation that God not only gives life, but also restores life, even in the bleakest of situations. We are reminded that death will not have the last word, even when all signs of life have been taken away. The key word in this passage is the Hebrew word ruach, meaning breath, wind, or spirit. The prophet prophesies just as God commands, and the bones come back together. Sinews and flesh and skin come upon them, but there is no life in them. They need the breath of God. It is this life-giving breath that makes these bones live once more. But this breath does so much more than that. This is the same wind that moved over the waters of creation. It is the same breath God breathes into the first human beings. It is the Spirit that comes upon each one of us when we are baptized. And it is the same life-giving force that moves in Lazarus. When Jesus calls out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out," breath is restored to him and he lives once more. He who has been dead for 4 days gets up and walks out of his tomb. But just as was true with the blind man from birth last week, there is far more going on than the miraculous nature of this episode. In many ways, the miracle itself is not the focal point, but rather this restorative act serves as a sign of something far greater than one moment in time. The revelatory nature of this act tells us something about the power and the glory of God. The raising of Lazarus signifies that God's eschatological promises, God's promises for the end of time, are here and now, already being realized amid and despite the ordinariness, the course of life, which includes illnesses, deaths, and burials, just like those of Lazarus. This chapter from John's Gospel opens with Jesus letting those around him and us know something important is going to happen. "This illness," he says, "does not lead to death, but rather it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." It's important to keep in mind that glory and glorification for John have to do with oneness with God. It has to do with Jesus being lifted up on the cross, being lifted from death to life, being made one with God. This oneness is central to the gospel message, to the Christian life, to all that God has in store for us and for the world. Life as we know it is a balancing of the tensions between life and death. In this season, in this gospel, this tension between the hope of resurrection and the finality of death is palpable. It is far too easy to see the world as a valley of dry bones, both literally and metaphorically. In the midst of war, violence, and death, of news stories of shootings and tragic accidents, it is easy to lose hope, to be dried out, to think all is lost. At times, it seems as if the world around us is stacking the deck towards death, towards an old way of understanding the world. Yet in the midst of all this, we yearn for resurrection, for the unbinding that releases us to dream beyond the boundaries and experience life anew. To dream beyond the boundaries is to imagine a world in which wholeness, well-being, health, and prosperity are normative expressions of human existence, and to partner with the God of life in making that dream a reality. It is to see the world as God sees, to take our place in the life-giving work of God, to be open and receptive to the breath, the wind, the Spirit of God. In this new life, we have a role to play. We cannot be passive observers and just wait for God to do all the work. In Ezekiel's vision, it is the mortal who follows the command of God and prophesies to the bones. It is the prophet whose actions usher in the will of God. In the gospel, our charge comes in the penultimate sentence. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus calls on the community to participate in Lazarus being raised from the dead. And in this, Jesus brings the reality of the resurrection to the present. In this respect, resurrection confronts us as an urgent call, impelling us to consider the possibility that those whom our world deems dead, no matter if that be socially, physically, spiritually, or emotionally, might live into a new reality, that life is still possible for them. We pray that all those oppressed and held in bondage will be filled with the Spirit of God and come out. Each and every one of us can participate in this new reality. We have the power to unbind, to release persons and communities from the clutches of death. Resurrected women, men, and children today require caring communities that are willing to nurture and strengthen them until they are able to walk on their own. They need to be unbound, to have the grave clothes of self-doubt, social isolation, marginalization, and oppression removed. We can tear away the wrappings of fear, anxiety, loss, and grief, so that unbound people might walk in dignity and become agents of creative change in the world. The breath of God moves in all people. The restorative, resuscitating, renewing, and resurrecting Spirit of God is present in the least lost and left out of the world, in the woman at the well, in the man blind from birth, and in the man who walks out of his tomb. Our call as Christians is to unbind them and set them free so they can be restored and live without fear. The bones Ezekiel prophesied to represent the whole house of Israel. They have gone through devastating loss. Their temple has been destroyed. There have been tragic violence against them and their leaders, and they have been removed from their land. Everything they knew has been taken away from them. They are in despair, and all seems hopeless. This is the same witness our world needs today. Ezekiel's vision is for these people who need to be unbound. It is for those people who pay the physical and spiritual tolls of poverty, natural disaster, and genocide. We are called to prophesy to the dryness of the world. We are called to unbind those who are held captive to oppressive forces. When God asks, "Can these bones live?" this is what God is asking. This is what God wants us to do. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, gives us a glimpse of how we are to do this. He makes clear that we are to set our minds on the Spirit and are to allow the Spirit to dwell in us. We hear this morning that to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Throughout Romans, the most comprehensive statement of Paul's theology is that the Christian mind must become the initial and transformative locus of renewal. We are to set our minds on the Spirit. We are to live in the Spirit. We are to allow the Spirit of God to dwell in us, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead breathed life into dry bones and brought Lazarus back from the dead. This makes accessible to us a force beyond ourselves. It gives us the power to stare sin, decay, and death squarely in the face, to proclaim that death will not have the final word. We are given the wisdom to discern how God is calling us, how God is equipping us to serve the present age as agents of transformative work. To live life in the Spirit, to set our minds in the Spirit, refers to how we conduct ourselves. It is manifested in how we use our physical energies and our material resources, how we care for our neighbors and for our planet. It is through this Spirit that we participate in the power of Christ's resurrection. In an historic election, Afghan people showed what happens when people are unbound. They know the destructive nature of evil and death, but they have been able to stand up and be counted. The breath of God is moving in our midst and making all things new. Death is being transformed to life. Despair is turning into hope. Today we find ourselves quickly approaching the end of this Lenten season. The three holiest days of our life as Christians are within sight. So may we look at the dryness in our own souls. Where do we need the breath of God to bestow on us life-giving strength? Where do we need to proclaim God's saving love and grace in the world? Where is there unbinding that we need to attend to? When God says, "Mortals, can these bones live?" Let us stand together and proclaim, "Yes, Lord, they most certainly can." Amen.